Off the Ball, GAA.
I didn't have a great relationship with County Board after that at all. Yeah, it was just a funny kind of a moment. It's well known, like, I got stamped on that day.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Now, I'm delighted to say that we've got Republic of Ireland and Aston Villa centre-back Anna Patton with us on the line. Anna, how are you getting on?
All good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. So we are, what, a week out from the first leg of the clash with Georgia. This is knockout football, playoff football, however you want to frame it. Do you feel a greater sense of excitement when the stakes are just that bit higher in football?
Yeah, definitely. I think ever since we knew we were going to have these qualifiers, it's been something we've really been up for. And yeah, it's exciting camps to come into.
How much do you guys know about Georgia? How much work have you put in already? I presume it's not something you think about until you're actually in camp and the week actually begins.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure all the coaches have been doing a lot of that work, and it's quite a nice well-oiled machine that when we come in, we have all that information available to us. So yeah, we'll be straight to it when we arrive in on Sunday, I think.
Do you think it's going to feel different than the previous camp? Because while the opposition in the previous camp and in that string of League A games in the Nations League, you're up against some of the best teams in the world. Georgia are a team that Ireland have beaten well in the not-too-distant past, but yet the stakes are almost higher. So where is that balancing act in terms of how you're approaching these two fixtures?
Yeah, they're must-win games, so there's a lot of pressure that comes with that, and I think whoever the opponent is, when it's a must-win game, there's that level of pressure that you've got to deal with. So yeah, I think we're ready for it, and we're not going to take Georgia lightly.
How has this season been for you so far? Going with Aston Villa, I presume the ambition this year was to find maybe a touch more consistency than you experienced in the WSL last season. So overall, how's Villa's season been going so far?
Yeah, I think there's like positives, definitely. And then there's stuff that I think we've been frustrated with, because I think there's been, in certain games, times where I feel like our performance maybe should have got better results. And I think, yeah, we need to be better on both sides of scoring and stopping conceding goals. So, yeah, there's that. But I think there's a lot of positives to take. And it's still early doors, obviously. And it's like we've got a lot of new players, new manager. So there's those kind of like, yeah, getting used to everything, getting used to the league, that I think is still just needing to click into place. But hopefully that's all coming soon.
The WSL is a mad league. Obviously, you've got the top two or three teams who are at a certain level, and they've been there for quite a while. I'm sure there's a number of teams who feel that they can get there soon. But by and large, it feels that a huge percentage of the league are at a similar level. From a spectator standpoint, that's great. From a player standpoint, I'd imagine it comes with this sense of, God, I don't know how the season is actually going to turn out. So in that context, how do you set your goals for the year? What do Aston Villa want to achieve in a year where there are so many different eventualities possible in this league?
Yeah, I think at the start of the year, that was a big thing that Robert wanted us to focus on, was setting goals. I think it's important for a team to have. And we know that we can be a top six side. I think that's something we've really got our, like, yeah, what we're thinking about, and even better possibly. But that, along with wanting silverware, I think is like two things we're really pushing for. And I think on our day, we really can beat anyone. I think we went pretty close with Chelsea, so I think there's no reason why we shouldn't be pushing for those good results.
What about on a personal level? What are the personal goals that you set yourself in a season like this?
Yeah, I think big thing for me was playing consistently. I was fortunate last season. I felt I earned my right to start every WSL game, and that's something like I'd really want to look to try and keep doing. Obviously, this year you want to play and you want to kind of develop as a player. I think there's a lot of that I want to keep doing. It's kind of developing individually, and the coaches are allowing that. You know, they put in a lot of place that you do a lot of individual work. And a few targets based off clean sheets and goals that I also want to get, but I'm not going to divulge the exact numbers that I want for that. But yeah, no, I've definitely got a few personal targets, and really the massive one that I did add to my list was qualifying for the Euros. I think it's something that I've really, yeah, got my eyes set on. I think everyone.
Brilliant.
Just will be feeling the same. So,
on the playing every WSL game, wanting to play every WSL game, it's important for every position, but I'd imagine as a centre-back, it's extra important. You want to be out there every week. You want to be developing those relationships with the people who play either side of you in defence. And that only happens over time, building those relationships. And playing every week is an important factor in that time.
Yeah, and also figuring out like your own rhythm as well, like feeling confident as a player, like that comes with minutes. And especially in that position that you don't really get subbed on. Like it's not one of those positions where you can come on, impact a game. It's one of those positions you want to start and see out the game. And kind of something I struggle with, especially at the start of the season, is that kind of focus piece of being a centre back. Like you've got to be so locked in for the whole 90 minutes. And when you have this kind of long summer break away from it, it's hard to just be able to be straight back on that and like be locked in a game. So yeah, no, definitely that comes with minutes and that comes with, yeah, learning. So yeah, game time is huge.
Being locked in for a full 90 minutes, is that actually something that's harder at the start of the season than the end of the season? We all talk about training the body, but does your mind actually get sharper as the season goes on?
Yeah, I always feel like that. You go through more moments in a game where you're like throughout the season of, oh, you needed to be focused there. Like you forgot that. I don't know. For example, there's been a couple goals we've conceded where I feel just as the ball's gone over my head, it's just so easy as a centre back to just maybe like, oh, someone else will deal with that. It doesn't get dealt with and you need to be in your position. And it's like, that's one moment that's kind of come up in these first two games. There might be more moments in other games where it's like, you've got to be more focused in those scenarios that once by the end of the season, you're really locked in those, that sort of thing in terms of like being able to stay focused. Like first preseason game, I came off with like such a bad headache for the rest of the day. Cause it's like, you can't like keep that fit almost right. Like when you're over summer, for example, like you can do all the running you want, but it's so hard to actually train staying focused for 90 minutes.
It's a really interesting one. We were having a very similar conversation on the show yesterday with Zach Ward, a rugby player who's made the change from playing sevens rugby where the games last for 14 minutes to now playing 15s rugby where the game lasts for 80 minutes. And he's saying that he's also gone from being a forward to a back. So he's waiting for the ball a lot more than he used to on top of that as well. So he's saying, got it. It's a whole other beast concentration-wise. And I've got to train myself to be patient and I've got to train myself to stay focused when the ball is away from me for the majority of the game. I presume as a centre-back on a team that wants to win a lot of games, that's a pretty similar sensation.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something, the like positive of a team that's wanting to play a lot, and I feel like that's something we've got better at this season already. You can tell is like we keep the ball better, we keep the ball in the opponent's half a lot better, means that as a centre back kind of you can switch off from being focused in those defensive moments because you're not having to do it all game like you do kind of more against the Chelsea's, Arsenal, City's. You're kind of in, you're like focused a lot because you're away from the ball. But it's that shift of going from being with the ball for a long periods of time to then those moments where the team is on the opposite team's on a really good attack and you're like, right, I've actually got to be focused now. You need to be locked in. And it's kind of that hard balance. Yeah, definitely.
Is there anything you can do to train that other than just minutes on the pitch?
Yeah, I think I've had... spoke with a psychologist about like sports psychologist about how best to kind of deal with those scenarios, because I know I can get lulled sometimes into the speed of a game and not kind of following the speed of a game, making sure I'm always at my like best. And yeah, there's different kind of triggers you can use to make sure I stay focused. Like one of the things, for example, with me is if I keep chatting, then that keeps me locked into a game. So like shouting and demanding a lot from everyone around me, make sure like keeps me locked in. So I always tell my coaches on the side, like, if you don't hear me talking, shout on. And then that will help me kind of snap back into it. Like little triggers like that can help you in those scenarios. But reality is you've just got to be able to be good at it. You just got to stay locked in.
What do your teammates think? Are they making a decision? Is this Anna trying to keep herself switched on, or is she actually telling me to, you know, play 5 years at left?
To be fair, not a lot of them know that that's something that I like make sure. I think it's right. Just part of parcel being a centre back is you do need to be one of the loudest on the pitch. But maybe it's a good thing for them to know that I might just be shouting not very helpful information, but it's actually helping me. So yeah,
that's really interesting. Anna, there's loads of stuff from your background that I wanted to touch on here. People will be largely familiar with your path, but I do want to tell your story in football as well for people who aren't. And I'm just really interested in starting off with your time at Arsenal and joining the Arsenal Academy. I think you were 12 years old when you joined Arsenal's Academy. I'm interested, first of all, in how that comes about as a 12-year-old. Like, do you go on trials? Do you get spotted? How does that opportunity arise for you?
Yeah, so I was spotted just like this local park thing where you had to pay 50p to go and just train with, it was actually Watford. So then Watford, through that's how I kind of got spotted, were like, come train with us. And then I was with Watford Academy for like a year or two. They lost their academy. So then, yeah, that summer Arsenal was the closest, most accessible academy for me at that time. So I went on trial to Arsenal. I actually don't know if I've ever been so nervous before. Like, when I think back, I was just like a young 12-year-old, but that's like what all I wanted really was to play for Arsenal. So yeah, it was it was a long time ago now, but I think it was 3 different trial periods where you're there and yeah, you're just kind of, everything you're doing is kind of getting scrutinized by these coaches. Yeah.
Wow. Because I was going to ask you, do you remember how you felt as a kid going through those trials? Obviously you do, and it's something that's still very much there in your memory bank.
Yeah, definitely. I think I know that after the second trial, some people who were on trial had already been told that they were in. So then I knew when on the final trial, where the numbers had obviously got smaller and smaller, they were like cutting people out at every trial, that like there was 1 or 2 spots available. Like, it was really down to like the last 2 picks. And I can remember being very nervous for that trial. Got called in and then didn't leave until I went off to America for college. So yeah, I was at Arsenal for six years.
Right.
6, 7 years before I left for college, and then obviously went back. So yeah.
How much contact hours did you have with Arsenal in those 6, 7 years? I mean, mostly in those first 3 or 4 years before you become, before you play with the senior team, basically, because that's a big conversation that we're having when it comes to both men's and women's football, is about trying to get contact hours with kids at the right age. It feels that in England, it's just done so brilliantly well at academy level, at professional football club level as well. So what was your experience of that?
Yeah, I think it might be different now, to be honest. And I think there's a lot more that's like changed and maybe changing that. But I want to say I had 2 training sessions a week that were both 2-hour long.
Right.
And then we would have the game at the weekend. So I wouldn't say it was like loads and loads of contact hours. But yeah, that's, yeah, Tuesday, Thursday nights. That's what we had. So yeah.
Yeah, still a fair bit. Still like, what, 6 hours of football organised per week. And I'm sure you're playing extra on top of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that period then, when you obviously get to play for Arsenal, I'm right in saying that you would have played Champions League for Arsenal before going to college?
No. So my first professional, my first professional competitive game with Arsenal was the spring series. So it was this weird in between where the WSL changed from a summer league to a winter league, but they wanted to put in a small kind of league before there was a tournament that summer.
Right.
So it was just half the amount of games, spring series. And so I played 8 games and then I went off to America that summer. So yeah.
Because it does seem is that a big decision that you have to make at that point, or was going to the US always something that you wanted to do? Because I presume when the carrot is dangled in front of you of actually playing senior football with Arsenal, immediately you might be thinking to yourself, geez, I might just stay in London.
Yeah, it was, the thing that made it easier was I felt I had made my decision before that, like I was maybe 16, 17 when I made the decision of college, because I felt other girls were maybe getting more chances of first team football and I wasn't quite reaching that, like more people getting the opportunity. So I was like, this is going to be the best thing for me. It's really professional out there. I'll develop a lot as a player. I'll come back and see what happens. And then it was, like I said, just those last few months. So maybe in the January, I got called in to do first team training. And then in the September of the same year, I went to college. And I'd already made the decision to go to college like a year previous to that. So I've done everything. I'd got my grades. I'd filled all the forms in. Like, that decision was made. But I do remember at the end of the spring series, because I performed quite well and Arsenal were willing to give me a contract. I was 18. They were like, look, stay. We see you as a centre-back at this club. Like, you... we wouldn't sign a player, like you would be the player we'd bring in, because I had played in those games as well. Like, it wasn't like I was just on the bench. And I remember just being like, oh God, should I do this? There was like a moment where I was like, am I doing this? And then I was like, no, I want college. I want to get an education alongside playing football. And I want to experience that life as well, of just like being young and being able to kind of, yeah, the social aspect of going out to college as well. Like, it's not all just about football, but yeah, there was a split second where I was like, shall I do this? And I'm sure my path would have looked very different, but I'm so grateful for every decision I have made in my career to lead me where I am now.
And the collegiate system in the US is so well respected as well. And I presume in hindsight, it added maybe different things to your game, like not necessarily accelerated the game, but certainly seeing a different footballing culture surely must have helped in the long run.
Yeah, I would actually always say that. I think the coaches I had out there have been some of the best I've ever had, and the impact they had on just my individual development is huge, because they really focused on that and wanted us to be professional players. So they really honed in on that, and I had a lot, I think I've really developed as a player, where if I was 18 and in a professional team, the coaches that are in those environments are focused a lot more on results. Obviously, that's their job. They've been brought in to win leagues. They've not been brought in to develop the 18-year-old centre-back. So, like, yeah, I think going to college really helps you in that aspect of your career.
Yeah, that's so true. Culture you go back to at Arsenal then, is it very different to the one that you left, what, 3-4 years previously?
Yeah, I think so much had changed between my time out in the States, of the WSL becoming a much more competitive league, a lot more foreign players wanting to be part of it. All of it, really. So when I came back, it was like, wow, this isn't the Arsenal that I'd left. But there was obviously still a lot of familiar faces and aspects of it that were still like home, so to speak. But no, the league and quality and of football had like massively increased. And that was kind of a bit of a shock to the system when I first came back in from my time out in the States.
I guess the thing that maybe you couldn't quite appreciate just as easily was how much you had improved in that 3-4 year period as well. So how quickly do you realise that actually, oh no, it's grand, I actually have made this step up myself, I am actually at that level too?
I think it was really hard for me actually, because right, I went from feeling like I'd definitely developed as a player over this time, but I'd also gone from starting senior football in England previous, like I was a starter, to then like coming back, the level of training was ridiculous compared to what I had in college, and that was expected. And kind of just feeling a bit out of my depths. And I was like, oh, this is tough. But it just maybe took those first 6 months to kind of get my feet, get my rhythm back, being part of like that speed of football again. And then I was like feeling much more confident going into the following season, because obviously I joined back in the January. And I think I just needed those first 6 months, well, four or five months to be like, right, This is a new net level and the new intensity that's expected from you.
How much of a help was having Katie McCabe at Arsenal at that period?
Like, massive. And Katie knows that as well. And obviously she was there before and after my college time. So I also saw the development that Katie went through in that time period as well, which I know she knows is like massive. But yeah, she's always been there for me and always been like, well, she's a massive wind up as well. Like, let's not forget about that. I think I was one of her favorite people to wind up. But along with that, like, there was a few tough times for me at Arsenal. Like, it's the reality of professional football, not playing and everything. And I think she was like a massive support system for me during that time. And I'm always very grateful for her for that.
She constantly reminding you of your maternal grandparents, you know, being a half Galway / Donegal, and saying, listen, definitely, you got to put on the green.
Yeah, she was.
It's a mad thing, isn't it? The sliding doors moments that have existed all throughout your career. And obviously the other thing that people will realise, and maybe we haven't mentioned in this interview, is playing underage football with England all the way up and then now playing senior football with the Republic of Ireland. It is a brilliant mixed bag of different footballing cultures that you've immersed yourself in throughout your career. Do you think you would be the footballer today if you didn't have all these different inputs from different people in different parts of the world?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think like every teammate and every coach I've had like has helped create the player that I am today. And I think that's like the great thing as well about WSL football, as well as the different kind of cultures that like come together in one team. So yeah, no, very grateful for all of that.
Absolutely. Well, Anna, very best of luck in this doubleheader against Georgia, and hopefully there'll be another international window coming down the tracks in a month's time as well. Great to catch up with you, and thanks for taking the call.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.